You're listening to Project Oncology on ReachMD, and this episode is sponsored by Natera. Here's your host, Dr. Charles Turk.
This is Project Oncology on ReachMD, and I'm Dr. Charles Turk. Joining me to discuss the IMvigor011 Phase 3 trial, which evaluated ctDNA-guided adjuvant atezolizumab in patients with muscle-invasive bladder cancer, is Dr. Andrea Necki. Not only is he an investigator on this research, which was presented at the 2025 ESMO Congress, but he is also an associate professor of oncology at Vita Salute San Rafael University and the director of genitourinary medical oncology at IRCCS San Rafael Hospital and Scientific Institute in Milan, Italy. Dr. Necki, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
To begin with, Dr. Necki, let's focus on the study's design. How was the IMvigor011 trial structured?
Well, the IMvigor011 trial enrolled patients with muscle-invasive bladder cancer who had received already a radical cystectomy with or without previous neoadjuvant cisplatin-based chemotherapy and showed a pathological feature portending a high risk of disease relapse, meaning PT2, PT3, or PT4, or PN+, so involvement on lymph nodes. After screening, started surveillance with ctDNA monitoring until 1 year post-cystectomy, and the patients who had curves of positivity of a ctDNA test were randomized to receive atezolizumab or placebo, while ctDNA negative patients, so patients who remain negative with the test, started surveillance and follow-up protocol until the end of the study. So only patients who had the evidence of at least one ctDNA positivity during the surveillance phase received randomization. They were randomized 2-to-1 to receive atezolizumab, the experimental arm, or placebo, the control arm. The primary endpoint of the study was the investigator assessed disease for survival. Overall survival was the secondary endpoint. The statistical analysis implied hierarchical control for the secondary endpoint based on the alpha level. This approach could potentially spare low-risk patients, so patients who remain ctDNA negative post-cystectomy despite an high-risk feature disclosed by pathological stage, from unnecessary treatment, meaning unnecessary adjuvant treatment with either use of an adjuvant immune therapy or adjuvant chemotherapy as a standard of care.
And as a follow-up to that, one of the more unique aspects of this trial was its use of molecular testing to guide treatment decisions. Would you talk a bit more about how the ctDNA monitoring was implemented and what makes that approach meaningful in this context?
The basis of the trial in IMvigor011 trial design was generated through the IMvigor010 design that randomized patients regardless of the ctDNA assessment, patients with high-risk features similar to patients with 0011, and the post-hoc analysis for this trial that randomized patients to receive atezo or placebo showed that a patient who had ctDNA positive test post-cystectomy were those who benefited the most from adjuvant atezolizumab. And in that trial, as well as in IMvigor011 trial, personalized tumor-informed ctDNA assay was used, meaning that it was a ctDNA test based on a signal, the next-generation sequencing of tumor of the patient, so the radical cystectomy specimen. So based on the molecular feature of a certain patient, of a certain tumor, the technology allows to develop the probe that is able to determine the ctDNA status for a certain patient. So it's actually a very personalized approach according to the features, the molecular features of each single patient. The other point is related, it's a very frequently debated point in the GU oncology community, is that it's a serial assessment of the test and the follow-up period post-cystectomy. So it's not a one-time approach, but it's a serial sequencing, not just at the time of screening surveillance before randomization, but also in patients who started the surveillance phase who were negative, then when they had a follow-up test still until the end of the study. So it's a two-fold test. That means a personalized approach first based on the whole exome sequencing of the tumor first, and then using this test and applying this test sequentially in the treatment course or in the follow-up course of the patient post-cystectomy.
Now, with that background in mind, let's turn to the results. The patients receiving atezolizumab had statistically significant improvements in both disease-free and overall survival. So what do these findings tell us about the role of immunotherapy when we use it in a targeted manner in patients with molecular evidence of residual disease?
Patients randomized to atezolizumab showed a hazard ratio for DFS, which is a primary endpoint of the study, of 0.64, whereas the hazard ratio for overall survival was 0.59. So this is one of the first phase 3 studies in particular to show a benefit in solid tumor oncology with a personalized ctDNA-guided approach, and in particular in urothelial cancer, in which we have an unmet need with regards to the decision-making for a treatment post-radical cystectomy. It's clearly an important step forward, an indication for patient selection and for exclusion of patients who had the highest chances of benefited with the follow-up period only, without any very low risk of developing disease relapse, without any further treatment, pairing them, or any further side effects from treatment.
In terms of safety, 28.5% of patients who received atezolizumab experienced grades 3 or 4 adverse events versus 21.7% who received placebo. Now, the events that were determined related to treatment were relatively low at 7.3% versus 3.6% respectively. But at the same time, 1.8% of patients atezolizumab did experience treatment-related fatal events. So putting all of this together, what are we to make of these findings? How do you view the tolerability profile of atezolizumab?
Yes, so from the safety standpoint, we did not see any particular signal that stands out of the knowledge that is already acquired for atezolizumab, as well as for any other immune checkpoint inhibitor, is particularly used as single agent therapy in patients with organ confined non-metastatic disease or in patients with the bladder cancer in general. As you have mentioned, the rate of treatment related the grade 3-4 severe side effects is below 10%, which is the cut point for all the checkpoint inhibitors tested so far in bladder cancer. The overall safety and tolerability did not provide any new safety signal. So the most important message here is, rather than focusing on the side effects related to treatment, is focusing on the side effects that are spared to the rest of the patient who did not receive atezolizumab. So patients were not randomized because of the negativity, persistent negativity of the ctDNA test.
For those just tuning in, you're listening to Project Oncology on ReachMD. I'm Dr. Charles Turk, and I'm speaking with Dr. Andrea Necki about the IMvigor011 Phase 3 trial of ctDNA-guided adjuvant atezolizumab in patients with muscle-invasive bladder cancer. So, Dr. Necki, another interesting finding was that the 357 patients who persistently tested ctDNA negative didn't receive treatment, yet still had a very low recurrence rate. Would you tell us how this finding might influence future surveillance strategies?
The general feeling of the GU oncology community is that this is a practice-changing study. As you have mentioned, the study results are related to the ctDNA negative patients who started the surveillance period are pretty much outstanding. So out of the 357 patients who started the surveillance phase, only 15 patients who experienced disease recurrence during the ctDNA monitoring period were discontinued from the study and censored for OS. Overall, 2-year estimate of disease-free survival and overall survival were around 88% and 97.1% OS, which is pretty much outstanding. The Kaplan-Meier curve are flat for either disease-free survival or overall survival. This is something that is really important to consider whenever we should discuss, we should counsel the patient after a radical cystectomy for any kind of adjuvant or additional therapy post that surgery.
And based on these data, what does the IMvigor011 trial tell us about the potential of ctDNA as a biomarker in bladder cancer?
Well, there is an explosion of the use of ctDNA as a biomarker for patients with bladder cancer, as well as for many other indications in solid tumors. But based on this study, which is the first one of this kind, I presume that we will accumulate a lot of many other data from practice-changing studies. focusing on the ctDNA as a way of selecting patients who are most likely to benefit for a certain systemic therapy. In particular, the serial use, the personalized feature of the test, which is based on the molecular features of each single tumor of each single patient, is outstanding. The technology provides a way of really adapting the therapy based on this test. So further developments are awaited. We are just moving around the pillar of radical cystectomy. So many other trials, perioperative trials, so including a pre-op period of treatment and post-op period of treatment, are already implementing ctDNA use as a biomarker for MRD, minimal residual disease assessment. So it's really a way of rethinking the way we monitor the response to treatment, we monitor the outcome of the patient as compared to the standard imaging tools.
Now, looking ahead before we close, Dr. Naicki, do you see these results influencing future guidelines to include molecular tools like ctDNA as part of routine post-surgical assessment and adjuvant therapy planning?
Well, my personal answer is yes. Based on the trial data, we have an opportunity for incorporating ctDNA monitoring post-surgery to guide treatment decisions outside of any further clinical trial. So more personalized risk-adapted approaches may replace the one-size-fits-all approach that is currently pursued by international guidelines on the both sides of the Atlantic, in the U.S. as well as in Europe. For nivolumab, for example, and for other, maybe in the future, checkpoint inhibitors. This trial, IMvigor011, could really serve as a model, and is already serving as a model for informing the next generation of clinical trials that base the patient stratification and selection, maybe in the perioperative setting, so neoadjuvant and adjuvant therapy for certain treatments, for certain newer therapies added to radical surgery. So these findings, so the findings from L011, in particular related to the ctDNA, indicate the serial monitoring of the test can really identify patients with MIBC who benefit from adjuvant atezolizumab while sparing those who have persistently negative ctDNA tests from unnecessary treatment. So it's a big step forward, the first of its kind, at least in urothelial cancer. So definitely a thing that all the physicians treating bladder cancer patients will consider tomorrow in their practice.
With those closing comments in mind, I want to thank my guest, Dr. Andrea Naicki, for joining me to share his perspective on the IMvigor011 trial and its findings. Dr. Naicki, it was great having you on the program.
It has been a really pleasure. Thank you, Charles, and thank you for inviting me.
This episode of Project Oncology was sponsored by Natera. To access this and other episodes in our series, visit Project Oncology on ReachMD.com, where you can be part of the knowledge. Thanks for listening.